I mix what I like.
Right now we are joined with Dr. Leonard Moore. Leonard is a Senior Associate Vice President, Division of Diversity and Community Engagement, and a professor in the Department of History at the University of Texas at Austin. And he has written a book called Black Rage. And I want to make sure we got Leonard on the line. Brother Leonard, how are you?
Doing good, thank you.
All right, so we got a short amount of time. Thank you for taking time out your busy Saturday. And
yes,
hope all is well in Texas, Austin. And just bring us up to speed as precisely as you can. I know you got a little bit of time, about 10 minutes. So tell us about the book, Black Rage.
Well, it started, man, I was living in Baton Rouge and I was teaching at LSU, and I'm originally from Cleveland. And it's like, man, every time I would walk past the newspaper stand, there was some case of police brutality on the front page of the black newspaper, Louisiana Weekly. I mean, I got there in 98, man. This went on for 3 or 4 years. And so one day, man, I was in New Orleans. I said, I just want to see how far back this police brutality issue has been going on in New Orleans. And, man, you know, I found letters, man, that black folks were writing to the mayor of New Orleans in the late 1880s about police brutality. So this, man, has been a persistent issue. And I'm not talking about a letter just saying, hey, the police brutalized me. I'm talking about letters, man, that were written in graphic and vivid detail, you know, about the encounters black folks were having with the NOPD.
Okay, so then you proceeded to document the letters plus the stories in Hurricane Katrina. Take us back through the late 1800s, in addition to writing the mayor for support. Okay. What else was happening?
I think, man, you got to realize that New Orleans, number one, is the most unique city in America, and number two, it's the oldest, largest, it's the oldest black urban community in the U.S., you know, going back to the, you know, all that French and Spanish mixture. And so, man, when you want to talk about black folks in city life, New Orleans gives you a glimpse, you know what I'm saying, going back to, you know, the 1800s, early 1900s, it gives you a glimpse of what city life is like, because most of the black folk there, you know, living in the city. And even the ones who were enslaved prior to the Civil War lived in the city. And so what I saw, brother, was just a sustained protest, a sustained movement for over 100 years, from black folk in New Orleans, from, like I said, the late 1800s, all the way up through Hurricane Katrina. And now here's the interesting piece, bro. Not only were these folks protesting, but they were about changing policy. And that's the piece that I think we as a people have got to be concerned about. I mean, we can ask for, of course, the police officer who killed Michael Brown to get fired, but that's a temporary solution. You know what I'm saying? How do we begin to get in there and change policy?
Well, let me ask a question about that. What's become popular now is this idea of the police being filmed, the police having cameras. Do you think that is an appropriate change in policy? Do you think that will work?
I think that's part of a larger picture. I still believe we need civilian review boards. And I think, you know, black politicians have to be held accountable, you know, because that's the one thing the police don't want. They do not like civilian review boards. They don't believe that any civilian should be able to supervise them or in many ways hold them accountable. So I think the video cameras are one respect, but what about, brother, the nature? How do we recruit black police? How do we recruit police officers? What is the testing method we use to get people in the academy? And so I'm talking about, man, how do you reform this system from the bottom up? And what we had in Ferguson was just a complete lack of civic engagement on the part of black folks living there.
Now, do you also document within your book the New Orleans riots that take place? Because New Orleans, as you mentioned, is like that cosmopolitan space where you get, you know, the French, the Spanish, you get the English coming in. But you also have those folks who leave Haiti after
yes,
the
sir.
Haitian Revolution and land there. So you got a bunch of folks in New Orleans that, you know, it's the birthplace of jazz and, of course, this is a station that's about jazz and justice, so we know about the history of Buddy Bolden and folks coming out of New Orleans, Congo Square, the music that's produced by African folks that eventually becomes what's known as jazz, a misnomer jazz, but it's black classical music, as J.B.'s godfather Tom Porter would say. But they also bring with them not just an attitude about the music, but the attitude about their space, their freedom, their protection, their liberation. Do you see any of that mixing in with the folks that came out of the Haitian Revolution into this French colony?
Oh, without a doubt, man. I mean, you know, you see all that through the piece. I mean, 50s, 60s, and 70s, black folks taking over City Hall. They sitting in the mayor's office, even when the mayor was black, you know what I mean? And, you know, and they really have a range of methods. You know, some people say it's civilian review board. Some other black folks said, well, if the police not going to protect us, we're going to protect ourselves, and we're going to protect ourselves from them. So you even had some vigilantism going on in these, you know, in these self-defense groups that popped up in New Orleans. So I think you can definitely make a connection between those folks coming from Haiti around in the early 1800s into protests you see in the 20th century.
So you feel it's a very much an independent community with a lot of elements in it, including, you know, more radical elements in terms of, you're saying, vigilantes, et cetera.
Right, but the one, like, so it is always, Louisiana itself has always been a closed society, and New Orleans even more so, and even at another layer, the black folk in New Orleans. Very unique culture, and that's why people couldn't understand why after Katrina, folks from New Orleans who had moved to Texas and other places wanted to move back home, because people who are from there will tell you, there is no, you know, there is no place like New Orleans. But you're right in terms of this independent black political thrust. The folks in New Orleans weren't looking to the NAACP or the Urban League or some folks to fly in. They weren't looking for Sharpton or Jesse to fly in 20 years ago to solve their problems. They've always been about, no, we're going to handle our problems internally.
Let me ask about Ray Nagin, who's on the way to jail, right?
Yes.
What impact did he have in terms of dealing with the issue of police brutality, or really any part of directly dealing with the black community?
Well, Nagin's an interesting guy, and I knew the folks in New Orleans were in trouble. I was down there at a little happy hour event, and a brother named Pennington was running for mayor. He was running against Nagin. Pennington took over after Mark Morial, and Pennington was an assistant police chief in D.C. Then he came to New Orleans. Pennington, real brother, I tell folks, he was a black police chief and not a police chief who happened to be black. Nagin, you know, Pennington got in there, brought the murder rate way down, cleaned up the police department. So I'm thinking, brother, that everybody's going to vote for Pennington to be mayor. Ray Nagin, who had been a Republican up until that election, decides to run. And Nagin puts together a coalition of white liberal support and also black conservative support, and he becomes mayor of New Orleans. Pennington leaves and goes to Atlanta to become police chief. The problem was that Ray Nagin didn't understand just how critical the police-community relations were in that city. So none of us were surprised after Katrina when we saw the looting and the hooliganism going on, not by the citizens, but by the police officers.
And say more about that now, because I feel like, you know, the stories of the not even the stories, but the rumors, and then the lies about what was taking place in the Superdome was one thing, but when the truth came out about what was actually happening, what the police were doing, and just sacking the city in this martial law effect was a whole right. other thing. And I know you got a few minutes left, so
yeah.
Please paint that picture for us if you can before you roll out.
And what you got, man, is just police just being completely lawless. So when Nagin takes over, he appoints a brother as police chief. But the brother was an insider who grew up in the department. You know, he started off as a patrolman and worked his way up. And people said when they put the brother in there that this brother did not have the ability nor the courage to deal with the people he grew up with, basically in the NOPD. So what you saw with Katrina, man, was, like you said, it was something out of the wild, wild west. People weren't being protected, police officers killing residents, and in many ways it was just a complete breakdown of any kind of law and order.
All right, you're listening to Dr. Leonard Moore at the University of Texas at Austin. Give us the title of that book one more time, please, before you go, and thank you for joining us.
It's called Black Rage, Police Brutality and Black Protest in New Orleans from World War II to Hurricane Katrina. Let me say one thing before I go, brother. We have got to be about policy changes. You know what I'm saying? And one of my frustrations with Ferguson is that everybody's down there for the marches and for the funeral, but who's going to be there for the next 12 to 18 months, brother, trying to change policy and get us civically engaged? So that's my challenge to all of us, and including myself.
All right. Thank you very much, Brother Leonard. Take care. Thanks, enjoy sir, the rest of your day, and keep us posted on the good work, man.
Yes, sir. Thank you for the invite. Appreciate it.
You're very welcome.
I mix what I like.